All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome in to the NG Podcast, where we talk to the next generation, that's you, about being the next generation, as defined by scripture. So we got a lot of things to talk about today. We did not take any questions, and to be honest, TBH, that's because I forgot to put the post on. However, that's also a good thing, because what we're talking about today will take up plenty of our time. So that is the creakiest chair I have ever heard in my life. That's such a creaky chair. So this week, we're talking about two things. We're talking about video games, and we're talking about social media.
Social media.
And where did the inspiration for video games come from? Do you remember why we decided to talk about this?
Oh, because we did a thing that we do here at our church, Highs and Lows, on Sunday. And I'm not going to name names, because there's too many to name. But a lot of the guys were like, hey, what's your high and low for the month? Not the week, not the day, the month of February.
Whole month.
29 days, an extra day in there this month. Fortnite. My Xbox broke. Video games. And you're like, okay.
Holds too high of a place in our hearts. So we're going to talk about video games.
Which is crazy, because I'm a dude that I love video games.
Me too.
Love video games.
And that's what we're going to start off with. This first question, like, what is your favorite past and current video game? Because I love video games. They're fun, right? Like, it's a great opportunity for you to actually get to explore, like, get out of reality, right? Mm-hmm. A virtual reality, right? Something where, like, you can't fly in real life, but you can fly in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So I put that to you, and same to Manny back there, running the mothership. Thanks, Manny. What is your favorite past? Let's start with past. Past video game. What is it?
Manny, want to go?
My past goes further than your two, so.
That's fact.
Don't say that.
I would say Halo.
Halo?
Halo, yeah.
Which one?
Which one?
Halo 2 or CE, yeah. Those are fun, though. I liked the graphics. Back then, it was, like, high quality.
Don't say back then, please.
I loved Halo 1, and then, like, playing Legendary with, like, one of my buddies, Dylan. Like, we played all of Legendary and beat the whole game. I mean, I'd say Halo 3 was probably the most nostalgia, maybe. I love Reach.
Yeah?
So good.
Halo, when I think of Halo, I always think of Red versus Blue. Do you know what
that
is?
Yeah, yes.
The overdub. Yeah, Red versus, that's what I think of. I wasn't really, to be honest, the only time I've played Halo, my roommate in college at Cal Baptist played Halo. I don't know which one, probably two or something like that. And he had like the headset on, mic going on, kind of like Manny back there. And he invited me to play one time. And I was like, what's the hype around this? Like, you play until, like, the wee hours of the night. Like, what is this? And so I played with him one time. He made the mistake of giving me the headphones and mic.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody on my own team killed me. So not because of what I was doing, but because of what I was, how I was acting.
For weekends, and I would, like, I'd be the kid that I didn't have my, like, the newer stations at my own house. So, like, I never got to play a lot of video games growing up. But whenever I went to my friends, I pigged out on video. That's all I did. In front of the TV, we play Halo Reach Forge against each other all the time. We played Halo all the time.
I didn't really play Halo a ton because I was more the big divide was PlayStation versus Xbox. Like, which family are you part of? And I was more PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a PS2, like, all of my life, but I was always on the Xbox side.
Yeah. I mean, I had Nintendo. So early on, we had a Super Nintendo. And I always traded up. So, like, you know, we traded in the Super Nintendo, got an N64. I never had a GameCube. I went from there to a PS1. And then went from a PS1 to a PS2, then PS2 to way later on in life, a PS3, and then now I have a PS4 because my mother-in-law got it for me for Christmas. But, man, going back, my favorite video game, do computer games count?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. PC is the master race.
I was super into two games that I probably spent most of my time playing. Number one was Roller Coaster Tycoon. Don't laugh. And then number two, Roller Coaster Tycoon, and then Age of Empires. I was really
big
into
Age of Empires. Was fun.
Yeah, those RTS games.
Yes.
You know, Empire Earth, those kinds of things. I love those games. Building stuff and sending armies and all that kind of stuff. Like, I love those games. And then Medal of Honor Rising Sun. I would say, like, my buddy Curtis and I, you can't set up in, like, endless time. So we would play multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I'd spend the night at his house or whatever. And Medal of Honor Rising Sun, we would set it to an hour. And it would be him and me. And it was like 4-on-4. So he me and six computers, six comms. And we just play, man, for hours. Oh, yeah. And when we got done, we'd play with boomsticks. When we got done, we'd pick a new map, reset, and go. And we just played that forever, man. But again, like, that's back in the era when multiplayer meant you were playing in the same room as the person. We were talking about this earlier, but, like, if somebody was playing better than you, they were within arm's reach, which was always scary. As when you're a kid,
always
like
played right next to my friends.
And you're playing a game.
Been cheating all the way.
Yeah, but, like, you're playing a game against, you know, my brother Grant. And, you know,
MW2,
you're within arm's reach of Grant. It's just, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, it can get dangerous. Or you just hit reset, or you unplug their controller, or whatever.
I think it's
right?
funny, like, I'm like a total multiplayer person now. Like, honestly, it's so hard for me to get into video games nowadays, like, by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't have the time. But, like, my all-time favorite video game pass is Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah, that's
like,
right,
growing
that's
up, amazing. You can ask most of my friends, I loved Assassin's Creed. I loved the history behind the games.
Yeah.
I loved the whole creed of the assassins in the game. And then growing up, like, my favorite doing history was the pirate area.
Yeah,
so like, we studied pirates in school, and like, that's, I wanted to be a pirate.
Yeah,
like, you'd ask me younger and I was like, I'm gonna be on a ship and I'm gonna sail the seven seas and I'm gonna,
I don't,
now you're like, it's illegal, which is sad.
I'll say,
but like, growing up, huge disappointment.
Yeah, well, you know,
but I literally, that was probably the first game like I ever pulled like an all-nighter on it.
Okay,
like, I was at my buddy Riley's house, we're playing, I was playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag on his PS3. And I remember playing and playing, playing, and then, like, the sun coming up, and then his mom woke up, and she's like, are you still up? And I was like,
Yeah. The only thing, I think the only game that I've ever done something like that for, which my parents were pretty honest about going to bed, so I don't think I pulled any all-nighters, but the Kingdom Hearts games, I was really, really into the Kingdom Hearts games. One, two, and then actually not too long ago, three came out, and got to play that just because, again, like, I'm like you, I love the story. Like, if in order for the game to be good, it's got to have a good story with it, you know. If the story stinks, then to me the game stinks. It doesn't matter how much stuff blows up in it. But current game other than Heyday,
Helldivers 2. Okay. With Democracy.
Yeah, which is you said, like, space Vietnam.
It's space Vietnam, basically.
Okay.
It's like if Starship Troopers was a video game now.
Okay.
It's third person in space. You're fighting on planets against either bugs or the automatons, which are like Terminators.
Okay.
That makes me think
of Wreck-It Ralph.
LMG guns, flamethrowers, laser cannons.
Just like real life.
It is beautiful.
I feel like we're going to be severely, I think because of video games, we're going to be severely disappointed if we ever end up on another planet. Because there's not going to be stuff running around like,
one thing I love though about this game is it, like, the first Helldivers was like a top-down shooter that was like super old and like, not super old, but it was like this like tiny little game. And now Helldivers 2 is like this massive, like, beautiful third-person shooter.
Open world kind of.
And it's like, dude, it's grown. I think it's only been out for like 2 months and it's hit over 470,000 concurrent players on Steam. And it's
who,
like,
who makes it?
Action Games is the name of the company.
Okay. Does it,
it's
like,
some, like, it's not a huge company.
Do they use like Unreal Engine, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it's on the Unreal Engine 4. Okay. I think, I don't even know, to be honest.
Manny's typing back. Manny's looking it up back there. He's like, look this up for us. He's looking it up. I think for me, Sony, really?
Sony, yeah, because it's not, you have to sign into a PlayStation account. That makes sense.
Proof that PlayStation's better than Xbox. All right. There we go.
Okay,
I win.
And it's only on PC and PlayStation. That makes sense.
Yeah, I was big into the Final Fantasy scene, man. Like, and that's why I liked Kingdom Hearts. You know, Final Fantasy X, such a cool game. But I would say my favorite current game has to be Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which I've never played a Zelda game all the way through. So I've played Zelda before, never all the way through. This is the first one that I've actually played all the way through. And man, like, the sandbox, like, you can, if you can think it and you have the resources to create it, like, you can get out of anything in
that
game.
Equal to
Breath of the Wild. Yeah,
okay.
It's the most, it just came out.
Got you.
Man, like, just such a cool game. I've done pretty much about everything you can in that game. I think for me, like, I don't play a ton of video games. And so, like, for me, every now and then at the end of the day, it was just an opportunity while Caitlin was doing counseling. It was an opportunity for me to just, like, mentally check out, man.
Yep.
And just, like, you know, get that creative, you know, not that, I mean, I'm a creative person, but, like, I'm sitting there playing, just getting to, like, all right, I need to climb out of this, and there's a bunch of wood, so let me just connect it all together, make a massive bridge, you know, or whatever. Like, man, that element of the game was just awesome.
Yeah,
so I think my
fun.
Favorite one has to be that or Heyday, you know. You got to do Heyday. But
my favorite part that I love so far about Helldivers 2 is the community.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this thing where this dude on one, like, open game, like, killed a bunch of guys and then stole all of their loot. And then, like, because at the end of the game, you get, like, commutative, like, you have to collect, like, samples and all that stuff on the planet. And, like, if you fail to extract, you get, like, less supplies. But if you survive the extraction and get out of the planet, like, you get the most. And this one guy did that, and then, like, the whole community, like, completely turned on him and, like, bashed him. So then every time he joined another game, like, people knew his ID and would, like, team kill him, like, immediately.
That's not good.
And I was like, guy. That's but then also, was like, no, but I love it how he's like, this guy's trying to be toxic, and the whole community's like, no. Like,
yeah, there you go.
We stand. And we I was like, I love this.
For what'd you say for democracy?
Democracy. That's the best part, is the game intro is hilarious.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, like, video games are, I grew up playing video games. I don't play them nearly as much as I did. I feel like it was, like, you know, the thing to do when you were a kid living in Barstow. Like, what else? You just going to walk outside in the dirt, you know? Like, at least there was green plants in the games, you know, or whatever. But, man, like, I remember,
it's a
like,
form of touching grass. No?
Yeah, sure. But I remember, like, you know, I remember game nights. Like, I remember getting to play, you know, Super Nintendo with my parents, and you know, those and GoldenEye on the N64. You know, Mario Party.
Where
you're getting, like, one of our favorite games to play with our friends is called Boom Blocks, and it's literally just a bunch of, like, Tetris style games. You know, but, like, you know, it's good. Like, and sometimes you can come together with Wii Sports, whatever. Like, it's good. Like, it could be community building. But one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about video games, Manny, I guess you didn't get to answer past video game. What is it?
Halo.
You said Halo current one.
Oh, current?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Helldivers.
Helldivers.
Sure. Up till Vietnam.
Up till 3 a.m. playing with Jeremy.
Literally. Because each match like, it has like a 30-40 minute timer, and then we did like four missions later, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so you're not gonna like this question that we're coming up on here in a second. But yeah, okay. So whatever you're playing, one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this. Again, you're talking to people that enjoy video games, right? Mm-hmm. Like we enjoy video games. I enjoy board games. I enjoy sports, like gaming and just in general, whether it's in person, virtual, like whatever it is, we enjoy competition, right? Like, it's a healthy thing, you know. Even the Bible says to outdo one another in showing honor, you know, that competitive language, for the right reasons, obviously, but. Really, the question that we need to talk about, and I really hope that we get a good community to listen to this, because we need to talk about how Christians should treat video games. And I want to show you a graphic, okay, of a revenue-based graph that I found from Enterprise Apps. And it's a trajectory based off of past and present, you know, like revenue income, right?
With the company
where we're headed. And so as you look at this graph, where we were in 2022, so we're actually, let's just look at where we're at from 2023, right? $249.32 billion. So let's just ground that up. So $250 billion spent on video games, right? 200, like, imagine, and I just want to, like, imagine how much money that is. Like, when you consider, like, how many businesses or how many families or how many churches are operating with debt and mortgages or whatever, like, when you think about $250 billion, how does that happen, you know? I mean, it's a lot of money, right? Like, this industry makes a lot of money. But look where it's headed. Just in 6 years, look what happens to that. The trajectory based off of the past, like projecting it into the future, 2030, $583.69 billion. So that means that in the next 6 years, $500 billion, in the next 6 years, it is going to more than double where it is right now.
That means better video games.
Here's the problem. You can't even blame this on COVID, right? Like, you can't be like, well, but it was 2020 and all of us were inside. Yeah, okay.
Well, this is all
but
after
it's all after 20, like, it's all after COVID, you know? And again, like, video games aren't bad, right? Like, well, okay, that's not a blank. Some of them are bad, okay? Yeah. Let me just put that out there. But enjoying this kind of thing is not inherently bad, right? And it's not a bad gift. It's a bad God. And that's why we really need to talk about this because, I mean, when we – all joking aside, when we're asking you, hey, What was one of the best, like, what was the best thing that happened in the entire month of February? And what was the worst thing that happened in the entire month of February? And the things that come to mind are video games or sports or whatever. Like, that shows you how much you're valuing it, right? Like, that is a telltale sign, right? And so that's why we need to talk about this. Like, and again, like, for a disclaimer, this is not an opportunity to shame anyone, because we're also talking about social media today. So this is not an opportunity for us that we want to shame anybody. However, we will look at a passage in Ephesians 5 that really illuminates why we need to talk about this, why we need to talk about sports, why we need to talk about money, like all of those things, careers. Like, we need to talk about all of these things because of what truly matters. So again, how should Christians treat video games? The first thing that I have right here is video games lead to a lack of social interaction and isolate players from families and friends, right? Now, that statement, here's what's interesting about that statement. That does not come from a Christian resource. That comes from a resource about psychology and, like, basically brain chemistry, neuroscience. And they are saying that video games lead to a lack of social interaction and isolate players from families and friends. And they actually say that what that causes is mental issues.
Yeah.
That you can't handle reality. That the more you submit to a virtual reality, the less it allows you to handle a physical reality, right? And I have Hebrews 10:25 right here. Biblically, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not neglect to meet together. You know what that word in together means in first century? It doesn't mean Zoom. It doesn't mean online. It doesn't mean a chat room. So we have to look back. Remember, this was written, the Bible was written to someone and it was written for us. So what that means is that we have to look at what it meant to the original audience. And when they say don't neglect meeting together, the only way that you could be together back then is if you were together in person. But then I love where it goes, which he says is the habit of some, which means that back in the first century, there was already this habit developing of people neglecting being together in person.
Absolutely. Also, I look at the side of, like, being the video gamer wanting to, like, argue, like, I am socializing, because my mom would be like, get out of your room and go do something. And I'm like, but I'm talking with my friends, I'm hanging out, having a good time. It's like, yes, you are socializing, but it's through a screen and voice, which over time and experience, one, through myself, I can tell, but also teaching kids and getting to interact with kids in person, you see how much doing this and this and this connection, they get so much worse at personal connection.
Yes.
They don't get social cues. They don't get sarcasm as much. They don't get, like, visual cues, like a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
It's like, really interesting to see how much it affects us, for sure.
and it cracks me up. Like, it makes me think of the very first Wii that after, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
After a while when you were playing, do you know what would pop? You remember what would pop up on the screen? Yeah, it had like a picture of a window and like the window's open with the curtains flowing. And it's like, maybe you should go outside. Like, like even Nintendo was like, hey, man. You just ate 9 boxes of Cheez-Its. Like, I think it's time to
go touch some grass.
Get outside. Man, that even Nintendo knows this. Like, they're even saying, like, hey, and like, same thing, if we think about Netflix and binge watching, they're like,
are you still there?
Are you still there? And like, it's always sad when you're like,
yeah.
You have to hit that button, right? But like, here's the reality that, man, it's a, what does the Bible call it? A habit.
Yep.
And here's the reality. It was a habit before screens. It was a habit when I don't even know what the games were. Writing a letter to each other, like, oh, let's get into this. Not even people couldn't even write or read. Like, it was still a habit.
Yeah. Even you think, like, back in the old days, like, there was guys that would, like, isolate themselves in libraries, filling with knowledge, reading books. And it's like one of those things where, like, oh, I'm socializing because I'm connecting with something that somebody made or read and that sort of thing. Social interaction,
yes,
in person, which,
well,
as humans and designed by God, is we're made for social interaction. We're social creatures.
Yeah, well, and I love this concept. There was this Hebrew concept of panim, and my professor, one of my professors in seminary, talked about this, that the Hebrew word panim, if I remember correctly, it directly translates to face. Now, that's actually the word that's used, for example, when it says that Jonah was fleeing the presence of God. That word presence is panim, right? And back in the Hebrew culture, that face-to-face, right? Mm-hmm. Like bringing your grievance to each other face-to-face. Think about today. Like, there are so many things that we are willing to say to each other in an online gaming platform or a social media platform that we would never say to someone in person.
Oh, yeah.
And even if we did, it cuts deeper, you know? Like, if you can see how it hits someone when they're in person, like, we cannot trade, we cannot undervalue being in person together. That mm-hmm. that even, like, if this podcast is your only interaction with a human being, like, please don't. Yeah. You know, like, any social tool should never replace social interaction. It should augment it. And there's this great book. It's not a Christian book, but I actually had to read it for my master's in graphic design. And it's called Here Comes Everybody. And it's talking about social trends in an online platform. And what they have found is that the social platforms that have done poorly are the ones that have tried to replace in-person interaction. The ones that have been most successful are the ones that augment or make it easier to find social interaction. So if you take Facebook groups, like Facebook groups was all about trying to get people together so that they can meet in person. And it did great, right? Others where you're like, you don't need to be in person. All you need is this. Those are the ones that didn't do very well, which is that's what we think that we want.
Yeah.
But how many of us, when we hit COVID, maybe those first couple weeks, you're like, this, I get to do school in my bedroom. And even if I had to go outside, I can't. I can't even hang out with my friends if I want to. What else am I going to do? Social media, YouTube, mm-hmm. Spotify, video games. Like, we thought we liked that. What happened after 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months? And you're just like, I just want to go to Target. Like, yeah. I just want to go to Walmart, like, without wearing a mask, you know? We want that. But again, we are relational people. That even God told Adam, it is not good for you to be alone, right? And even in Hebrews, it says it's a habit, right? And it's a habit for us, and it's even harder because it seems like there are so many things out there, video games included, that are made to pull you away from reality.
Absolutely.
And put you in a virtual reality.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, too, is like, I think video games, too, is more prevalent with males. Definitely. I think the male community is a lot more because I think, especially as us guys, we seek adventure and we seek that story. We seek that hero, the hero, the damsel, the evil, the bad, you know, and the good. And it's one of those things, especially like me growing up, that's why I loved Assassin's Creed Black Flag so much, is like, when I played that game, I didn't just play the game. I felt like I was in the game. I was a pirate. I was that. And it's one of those things where, like, I wanted to do it all the time because that's where I wanted to be. My life was boring. I wanted to be a pirate. And it's one of those things where it's like, no, my life is so much better and cooler than a pirate. And like, yeah. Which now it's like, oh, that's illegal, so don't even want to do that. But
yeah, don't,
let's not commit national or international treason.
Regardless of what Disney wants you to believe, piracy is not good.
But it's like just so crazy how to think like how many hours and how much time was spent. And I also look at so many kids today where like I have all these kids that I teach and all this that are like, I play Fortnite and I did this. And I was like, how many wins did you get? They're like, oh, no, none. And you're like, you know, this kid played all night and never won a single game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why? Like, what's going to contribute to life? What, you have better hand-eye coordination and
maybe
some critical thinking?
And that's the
thinking,
other thing but... is, like, it's like, it we can't, it's not necessarily hand-eye coordination. It is dexterity, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some links for dexterity purposes. But again, like, I think we use that as a...
excuse, like, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, let's keep my reaction time up.
You know, some people were like, well,
so like, yeah, it's true, but
a glass of wine a day is good for your heart. Yeah, that doesn't mean you can drink 8 bottles, right? Like, you know, but I think a lot of times, like, oh, no, studies have shown that one cup of coffee a day is actually good for you. Yeah, but the 8 pounds of sugar that you couldn't put in your coffee is not, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think a lot of times we try and use those as like, no, it's good for my reaction times. You know, my reflexes are fully developed. Movie The Benchwarmers. But again, like, nothing is better than being in person with people. Mm-hmm. That again, like, if you have a sense of adventure, go outside, you know, like, and we talked about this recently, but like, give yourself a problem to overcome, you know, without those tools. And that kind of leads us to what we're going to talk about is how much is too much. Like, again, this is a gift, right? Like, all of these things are gifts. And there are so many amazingly talented people that have been able to make movies and video games and just all of these things that are, you know, even board games and those kinds of things that are just so creative. And those people are using their God-given creativity to do something that does bring people together, right? And that's not a bad thing, but how do we know when it becomes too much, right? Like, where is the line? Because Hebrews 12 says, cast off every weight and sin. So how do we know when it becomes a weight that could eventually lead us to sin? And that's what we need to talk about, really.
Absolutely.
Because I have no problem with playing video games. And just like I have no problem with watching movies or you know, whatever it may be. But with everything in life, there is a point when it moves from being something that you enjoy to becoming an idol, right? And how do we know that? And so, again, here's the question that no one wants to ask. Ask yourself how much of your time and money you're putting to video games, movies, social media, whatever it may be. How much of your time, energy, resources, how much are you putting to that? And this is something that we don't want to answer. you know,
just with video games alone, I will say my whole life, thousands of each.
Yeah.
Thousands of each, probably.
Hours and time.
Because I would say probably one of like the most current games that I've probably spent the most money on is Valorant. Where like you can spend $40 on a gun skin pretty easily. And you're like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I got things like, I'll be honest, it's kind of sad now that I look at it, but like I have almost 7,000 hours clocked in on Battlefield 1. And I was like, that's insane. Like, I realized how many years that. Yeah, because when it came out, I remember I pre-ordered the game. Mm-hmm. I played the alpha.
When did it come out? Okay.
When it's 2016 or 2017.
So it's just to make sure, it's not 17,000 hours this year.
No.
I just want to make sure our listeners know that.
I bought it, like pre-ordered it, $60. Actually, I paid 70 because I got like some exclusive stuff that went with it too. Mm-hmm. Full price. I played the pre-beta. Then I actually, when the game came out, played it. And then I bought skins on it and then played so much. That was me and like one of my best friends, Drew. Like, we played that game all the time because we were like total history nerds at the time too, and like it was Battlefield 1.
Yeah,
like all the guns, vehicles, the mm-hmm. places, like we were so entrenched in it. And it was like, it got to the point where like not only was I clocking that many hours on the game itself, but my YouTube was full of Battlefield 1 videos.
Yeah. And you gotta pull all that together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bo kind of said this earlier, that the sad part about that, especially if you're listening and you're like, oh yeah, I got you beat, like, again, what Bo was talking about earlier is like a lot of people wear that as a badge of honor, right? Mm-hmm. like oh, you don't, that's nothing, you know, I've put whatever.
Dude, I could easily be like, you know, 7,000 hours on Battlefield 1. I'm the best there is,
right?
I'm a level 148 for general.
I mean that's nothing on my level 56 farm on Heyday, but again like, a lot of us wear that as a badge of honor, when in reality, if you look at, like,
Benny, how many days was that? 7,000 hours? Say it was like
291.
It's
almost a year.
291 days of my life.
Yeah.
In a video game.
Yeah. And again, like, that's, and again, I want to say this again. This is not a podcast
to grow up.
This is not a podcast to shame anybody, right? Like, we're not shaming anybody on us. But here's the reality: Ephesians 5 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the what? Time, that's something that we spend way more. I mean, and we looked at the money, right? We looked at the billions of dollars that we spend on video games, but the bigger sacrifice that we make to video games is time, right?
Yeah.
That we, yeah, like, yeah, we do commit a lot of money. And like you said, it's just a $4 purchase here and there, but that adds up. In reality, like, even here's what's really sad. You might not even contribute $4 to your church. And that might sound like nothing. Well, yeah, if that's nothing to you, then why aren't you investing that elsewhere? And what is Ephesians 5 saying? Look carefully how you walk. Like, we need to be careful with that, because like you said, like, that's almost a year that you have sacrificed, that maybe you're more like that you've sacrificed to this virtual world that in an eternal sense has no merit, like has no purpose there. And so we got to look carefully how we do that, making the best use of the time. Again, are these bad gifts? No, but they're bad gods, right? And because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And here's the thing. Even if you do play video games, not all video games are safe, right?
Nope.
Like, if you're a guy, I'm sorry.
It's
but
a dangerous community.
Yeah,
guys, it is.
A lot of the characters, like female characters depicted in video games, are not helpful.
They're all over-sexualized. 100%.
Yes, over-sexualized. And I'm sorry, but even on the girls' side of things, look at how a lot of these male characters are depicted. And what happens is it starts to warp how we consume other people as commodities, and we evaluate them by their characteristics. Well, yeah. No wonder, because if you look at how the manly hero or heroine is depicted in these games.
Dude, like 6'4", 230,
it's, yeah.
3% body fat.
It's no wonder. They can flip around a 1,000-pound sword at, like, it's a toothpick, right? Like, it's no wonder that we have a warped sense of reality, a warped sense of preference. And so that's why we need to be really careful that,
absolutely.
That I mean, maybe it is safer for you to stick to Mario, you know, because you're not going to struggle with lust or whatever it may be. And so you need to look carefully. Like, even if you're playing video games, that doesn't mean you have all access to all of them.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you're protecting your mind. You're protecting your heart. I mean, think about the language. This is one of the reasons why I don't play Grand Theft Auto. You know, if you just look at the ways that people are depicted, that society is depicted, that the value is depicted, it can be destructive to your mind, to your heart. Because here's the other thing that you have to ask. I want you to think about how much time, I want you to think about how much money you are giving to these games or whatever it may be, and then compare that to how much of your time and resources you invest in God's kingdom. And hear me, like, this is not me just saying, like, so you all need to tithe more. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we absolutely need to invest in God's kingdom. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6? You want to read it? Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal.
If you lay up treasures of time, of money, of resources, of mental capacity, wherever it is, it doesn't have to be video games, whatever it is, compare that to how much you're investing in God's kingdom, and it will tell you where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah. That's how Jesus ends that passage.
It's huge to think about. Like, I know so many kids that would spend in a heartbeat $10 on a battle pass on Fortnite. And I was one of those kids too. I played Fortnite since season 1 all the way up to like season 11. And it was one of those things where I have skins in that game that I spent 20, 30 bucks on. I haven't touched that game in probably 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, it's completely just sitting on a file in a computer doing nothing.
Yeah. Now
20, 30, hundreds of dollars gone,
now,
wasted.
Here's where this goes too. Where does all this billions of dollars go to? If 100 people spend $10, that's $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put this to you. As a pastor, I can tell you there is so much ministry that you can do with $1,000.
Huge.
And if 10 people, if 100 people gave $10, you might think like $10 isn't too much. Here's what's really sad about that most of us are really quick to say, like, yeah, I'll spend $10 a month on Netflix. You know, I'll buy the battle pass every month. I'll you know, whatever it may be. I'll buy more gems or diamonds if you're a Clash of Clans, whatever it may be. Yeah, don't look at me, Manny. Right? Like, I'll do whatever. Well, okay. And again, like, you're not saved, right? Your salvation isn't determined by how much you give to the church. But what does Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so if I look where your treasure is, I can see where your heart's at.
Yeah.
And that's the mental check. Like, that's the reality check that, that if I were to, you know, if I were to just ask to see your bank account and I was just going to look at your bank account and say, okay, so clearly this is what you're most invested in. What would it say? And this is not me as a pastor saying, give to my church, right?
Food and gas.
But you know what I'm saying that when we, oh, it's not that big a deal. I don't spend too much on video games, but do you even spend that on God's kingdom? Like, as like for us as pastors, like, we're talking about like wanting to move beyond our mortgage into more ministry, mm-hmm. right? And you tell me that, like, you know, $475 is a lot for camp. How much do you spend in a year in video games? Like, one video game is $60.
Cuz that's one crazy thing I've had some of the kids already tell me is, like, I don't know if I'll be able to go to Peak, Engage, and Fuge. It's a ton of money in 1 year. And I'm like, but then you guys are sitting over here like, oh, my Xbox broke, and I guarantee you guys are going to save up and get an Xbox.
Probably.
Which is like,
and again, okay. This is not an opportunity to shame, but this is a reality. This is a wake-up call that all of us need to evaluate. And again, girls that or whoever that's not playing video games, this is for you too. It's because again, like, where are you investing your time?
Yeah.
Where are you investing? Because you might think like, well, I don't make a lot of money. I can only do $10. Again, if 100 people gave $10, that's $1,000, mm-hmm. right? And we see with video games how much this adds up. That did you know that cost-free games still produce billions of dollars?
Yep.
Why?
Because in-app purchases.
Fortnite is still producing billions of dollars even though the game is free. Because of in-app purchases, right? Mm-hmm. And so you might think like, oh, I don't have a lot to invest in God's kingdom. You have no idea how much. I mean, look what he did with 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Absolutely.
He fed thousands, right? And so for us, like, are video games wrong? No, but they're bad gods. And again, like, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if someone was going to look at your treasure, where you're putting it, what does that say about where your heart is?
Yeah.
You know? And we'll talk about this. This directly really relates well to social media. But man, this takes a lot of self-control. And again, like, maybe practically, like, what does this look like practically? Maybe you tell yourself, I am only allowed to play video games from 9 to 10, like, or whatever. Or you have, like, a set timer, and you stick to that. Like, I don't know what it looks like, but are you willing to put up those safeguards? Are you willing to put up boundaries?
Yeah. Because it's definitely one of those things where, like, as I've gotten older and life hits you in the face, like, you'll quickly realize, like, you get into a relationship, most likely they're not going to care about video games. You get a job, they're definitely not going to care about video games.
I love my
wife. You get
wife,
a bunch of things, and it's
she
like...
she does not, yeah.
You're like... And these are things that investing in relationship, marriages, mm-hmm. career, your life, how you're going to live, make money, have nothing to do with video games. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're trying to put your time to something, you're going to see where it weighs in your life.
Yeah.
And, like, one of those things is getting older, getting in relationships, things like that. Yeah, I don't play video games as much anymore, which honestly, I'm completely okay with.
Yeah.
I love life. It's yep. going great. It's one of those things where, like, if I don't play video games for, like, 3 weeks, I'm like, I haven't played in a while. But it's like, oh, no, like, no, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, I love my wife, but Caitlin couldn't care less. Like, if mm-hmm. I was telling her about Tears of the Kingdom, she,
yep. no,
and again,
yep.
like, she's a good wife, so, like, she's gonna show... She's going to be invested in what yeah. I'm interested in, but she's not interested in it, right? Like, no. And I would never require her to be interested yeah. in that, right?
That's the same thing with Kylie. Like, I've sat down and we've played Halo together. Blast. Had a great time. That's 1 hour, maybe, that mm-hmm. we've spent in our entire relationship of being together, and yeah. we played 1 hour video games together.
And that's because it's a hobby.
It is.
And, like, and I would say the same thing about sports. Like, look at how much money in athletes invest in stuff, you know? Like, I'm a tennis player.
Yeah.
One professional-level racket could mm-hmm. be $200 to $300. And there are guys that have like 6 and they constantly get new ones, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, even
it's
if you're
it's a gift. It's a great
yeah,
gift, but not a god.
Not a good god. And even if, I mean, your relationship, look how much money you invest in your dating relationship mm-hmm. and you give nothing to God's kingdom, right? Whether it's missions or this church or whatever it may be. I mean, in reality, you paying to go to Engage, you paying to go to camp is you investing in God's kingdom. That it's not us just charging that much and we're going to take the money like, you know, bad guys and like just giggle in the background because we're going to go use that money for whatever. No, but like if you're willing to say, you know what, my spiritual development is important to me and this is an opportunity for me to go to peak and get closer to God. Man, like that's you investing in God's kingdom, you know? Or if you're like, I need to go on that mission trip. It's $75. I got to go, right? Like for the cost of one video game, you can go on a missions trip to San Diego with us this summer for a whole week. Yeah.
Or
you know?
Like peak is cheaper this year.
Yeah, it's $150.
Things like that.
For two video games.
We know that like you guys don't work for a living and some of those things are we work on making things available to you guys.
Yeah,
which just comes down to how do you spend your treasures.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like, again, this is not an opportunity to shame. This is not an opportunity to belittle. This is a wake-up call, right? Mm-hmm. That as we ask, and here's the I can't wait until next month. We're like, all right, so some highs and lows. And they're gonna be like, well, and like, they're, you know, people are going to be like, I'm not going to talk about that. But again, like there are those.
We're going to have evidence that'll be like Fortnite.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like,
love you, Evan.
The statistics where it says how long you've played and how many, you know, the challenges that you've gone over. Like, again, hobbies, they're fun. Like play sports, get outside, play some video games, whatever it may be. But where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Yep.
And again, like that means treasure. Like Jesus is very much talking about money, that we spend so much money on the things that we value, right? Like this is why I would tell you, and here in the next few weeks, we'll get Grant on here to talk about Bibles, right? Why would you not want to have a premium Bible?
Dude, I want
like
one.
Why would you not want to spend some money? You know?
I want to get.
But like why would you not want to spend money? Because normally we put money toward what we value. And our money says a lot about what we value and what we're invested in. So ask yourself how much of your money, and again, I'm not talking about the church. Please don't hear me saying like this is not a plea to just give to the church. Like, can our church use more money? Absolutely, because we need to be able to do more ministry, right? But here's the reality. What you put your money to shows what you're invested in. And what is it? We just talked about generosity last week. Don't give it out of obligation. Don't give it out of compulsion. Don't do it grudgingly, but give willingly. Why? Because you realize that way more valuable than Fortnite is the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
and so if someone's asking me, hey, I need somebody to talk to, and I had already scheduled a time to play with my buddies, oh my gosh, please don't go play video games when somebody needs you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, like where your treasure is, there your heart is. And that kind of, if you don't have anything else to say on video games, we are going to talk about social media, but anything as we kind of start to wrap up this talk on video games?
Those things are, I still love, and I probably still always will, play video games with my friends. And it's a great way to get away for a minute, to hang out, talk to some dudes that
check out.
You haven't talked to in a while and play a fun interactive game together. But it does really come down to, in your life, are you going to be a professional gamer? Odds are no. Let's be honest, no.
Yeah.
So where are you going to go with it? What are you going to do? Are you going to put it on the back burner for a little bit? Or are you just going to supplement that time? I think it really comes down to, though, just don't talk about it, but do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you realize that you are spending 7,000 hours on a video game, why? And do something about it.
Yeah. And like, again, this doesn't mean stop. Like, this doesn't mean, like, you never touch them again or you're a sinner. But, like, even, and I'll go further, like, even if you're going to play a video game, man, protect yourself mentally.
Yeah.
You know, like, Hebrews 12, cast off every weight. You know, if the characters are a little too risque, protect your heart. Again, like, if God's kingdom and your sanctification, you becoming more like Jesus matters to you, you won't want to play those games because you know what it's going to do to you mentally, morally. Physically, what are you investing your time, your talents, your money, like all of that in? And again, these are good gifts, but they are bad gods.
As a follower of Christ, it's more important to pick up this than this.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah. And it bleeds everywhere now. Like everybody's walking around with a mobile gaming device in their pocket with smartphones and all those.
Well,
kinds
an Apple
of, we were just looking
wear
at
goggles.
No, what was the company? We were just looking at Rogue, right? They have a phone now, right? Isn't that what we were talking about?
Yeah, ROG Strix.
Yeah. ROG. They have a gaming phone now, right? Yeah. That's where things are headed. The 4K monitor on your phone. Why?
Yep.
You know?
Crazy.
So that's just, again, just protect yourself and know that this is not us shaming you, but man, this should be a wake-up call that as you realize how much of your log it. Like actually, like let yourself physically see it. Do the math. Like do the division to figure out how many days you've given to that, you know, because it's going to be eye opening for you, right? Mm-hmm. Set parameters, set time frames, tell your parents and other people about, hey, please don't let me play outside of these hours, right? Because again, if God's kingdom matters to you, and if your sanctification, you becoming more like Jesus, matters to you, then you will be willing to adjust.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and I think it even goes to like going to social media. Video games are social media. Like, we have Discord, you have Xbox chats. Like, it is also a form of social media. And so it's one of those things where tying into social media now, it's like, I feel like you need to regulate both. If they're both earthly treasures more than heavenly treasure.
Yeah.
And so it ties in with both, especially.
Yeah. And I mean, we're going to close up. We've got a little less than 15 minutes left here, but with social media, I mean, everything that we just said applies, right? Oh. Replace the word video game with social media. But again, like, the Pour Over News, if you haven't followed them yet, check them out. But they came out with this graphic that the Supreme Court is weighing in on social media and what the First Amendment protects when it comes to that. So again, when you got people getting canceled because of them sharing political views, religious views, or whatever, is that constitutionally right? Right. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, so the First Amendment, I'll read it. It's Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So basically it's talking about that no law should be made that infringes upon people's freedom of speech, mm-hmm. freedom of religion, whatever, freedom of the press, that kind of stuff. So what this leads to then is, should Christians even be on social media? And if so, how? And the four things that I want to talk about with social media is, number one, self-control. And we have a verse that goes along with all of these. Number two, honesty. Number three, community. And number four, self-image. Self-control, honesty, community, and self-image. And the first one being self-control comes from the verse that the Pour Over shared with that story, Ephesians 4:29, which says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So again, what this is saying is, Christians should never be afraid of being canceled because we're not trolling people.
Mm-hmm.
That we aren't being a jerk to people that are around us. We're not just openly, sharing our opinions and bashing people. What are we doing? We're not letting any corrupt talk come out of our mouth. But if I'm going to say anything in person or on social media, what's the purpose of it?
Yeah.
Building someone up.
It's one of those things, if you're worried about getting canceled for it, you shouldn't say it.
Yeah. And this takes self-control, right? And that's why I say self-control, because again, like, our knee-jerk reaction is to react in defense of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody says something bad against me, I'm going to go back and get them, right? So again, like, should we even worry about being canceled? No, because everything we say, either in person or online, should only be for the purpose of building other people up,
yeah,
right? And here's the problem. Most of our social media presence is about building ourselves up, right? Like, I want a better image. I want a better following. I want to feel better about myself. So I'm going to build myself up, right?
Because
how many of us share the bad parts?
Yeah. Every Instagram, every profile is glamour.
Right.
Yeah.
Which leads to the next thing, honesty. And if you went to Peak with us a couple of years ago,
hashtag
we got
no
that,
filter.
Yeah. Proverbs 10:9, which says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Again, if you're being honest about who you are, your intelligence level, all of that stuff, you don't have to worry about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got integrity and you're walking securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. What this means is, if you lie about how you look, how smart you are, how popular you are, whatever it may be, you're gonna be found out, right?
Yeah.
That honesty is the best policy, right? And integrity always wins, that wholeness, because again, you don't have to worry about somebody finding out that you're fake,
yep.
Right? That you don't have to worry about being canceled because you're only concerned with building people up. You don't have to worry about being found out because you're being honest, right? And that takes honesty, that takes self-control. And then again, same thing with video games. Hebrews 10:25. Don't neglect being together. Like, don't assume that a video chat on Snapchat or whatever it may be, TikTok, whatever it is, don't assume that that's real community.
Yeah, no, for sure. One of the biggest things too, I think I have to do with that is like we're to build each other up, but also don't neglect truth and upholding righteousness and that righteous truth. Because I feel like so many people, like especially Christians, will compromise in areas to, oh, we have to show love, which yes, we ultimately do show love, but also if somebody is wrong biblically and truthfully, you have to, it's our job to also correct and show what is truth.
Right.
So it's standing for that righteous truth that is really, mm-hmm. really important.
Yeah, and that's what you stand for, again, where your treasure yeah. is. And does your social media make it look like you treasure yourself, you know? So again, like, make sure that you are not neglecting to be together, you know? Be in person with people. Like, spend some time instead of texting, instead of messaging or whatever it may be. Man, like, go get some ice cream together or something like mm-hmm. that. Just don't neglect that. Be together. When we start playing rugby on Sundays, you might not know what the heck rugby is. Come out. We're going to have soccer, volleyball, rugby, people just chilling in their chairs. We actually got approval today that we'll be able to have Maple Park with the lights on. And so that's really exciting because we don't have to worry about the sun anymore.
Yes.
You know, and we're going to be in the community, right? Other mm-hmm. people are going to see us being together, and that's attractive. People want that community. So yeah. don't neglect that, and don't sacrifice that at the expense of your social media following either. And then the last one, and this is especially where social media is unique from video games, and that is self-image, because so many of us spend so much of our time crafting this version of ourselves that we want the world to see, that I'm going to add a lot of filters to make myself look better. I'm going to add a lot of words that make myself sound smarter, right? Because we feel like if we get more followers, if we get to influence more people, that validates us and makes us more valuable. But Jesus values you not because of that. In fact, 1 Samuel 16 talks about how man looks at the outward appearance, but what does God look at?
Inner.
The heart, right? And so God doesn't care what you look like, right? Like, it's not about your image. It's not about your following. It's not about, you know, this false sense of self that we lift up. I mean, imagine, how do we know that God values you simply because of what he created you to be? He died on the cross for you, right? That Romans 8, starting in verse 31, says this. Let me find it. There it is. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to know where your value is, it's in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
That's where your identity is. That's where your value is, that Jesus looked at you when you did not deserve it and said, I'm going to give my life so that way I can repair the relationship between you and the Father.
I say, as Christians, if you want a social media, it should reflect that right there.
Absolutely. Right. And again, like, use it as a tool. I mean, I talk about the Great Commission, you know, with Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go to the ends of the earth. I mean, with social media, you can do that in an instant, that you can be talking to people on the other side of the world like that. You don't even have to travel. Right. Mm-hmm. So the ends of the earth become so much more accessible. Here's the problem. We use it to share selfies instead of sharing salvation, you know, and I think that that's the trend that needs to change, that if you are on social media, same with video games, I'm going to look at your social media and it's going to tell me pretty quick where your treasure is.
Yeah.
You know, that if you spend all this time carefully crafting this false version of yourself because it makes you feel better and it gets you more followers, you're not God. that what we put out there on the internet is the door that we could never close. And so what is it going to tell people if they open that door? What is it going to tell you about what you value? What is it going to tell you about your heart? What is it going to tell you about how you view yourself or how you think God views you? Like all mm-hmm. of that stuff together matters. And when we evaluate ourselves, we don't put it to what the world says about us. We don't put it to what the world says is cool or is beautiful. We look at that passage right there in Romans 8 where it says nothing's going to separate you from the spiritual or physical. Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, as we kind of wrap this up, I don't think that there's a bigger topic right now for our students than this podcast. We're talking about Fortnite and Snaptrap. Man, video games and social media, that's so much. Like if I were to summarize most of our day, it probably fits into those categories. Mm-hmm. And if we could remove school, we would probably have it even more, you know?
Dude, yeah. Look at summer break. All the kids are excited to go play video games at home.
Yep. And so again, I'm going to close with that verse, Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Invest in God's kingdom. Make sure that your treasure, that what you value is God's kingdom, not because of what you say, but because of what people mm-hmm. see. And in the end, seek first his kingdom and all else will be added to you. That have an eternal perspective on what really matters.
Yeah.
Because the world's watching.
Yeah.
And if you really do care about the fact that Jesus died on the cross to do something that you could never do, you would be willing to adjust.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean you have to come off of social media. It doesn't mean you have to stop playing video games. But man, be careful. And cast off every weight that clings so close.
It goes up to like what I said this morning, like. But 1 Kings 2:2.
First Kings 2:2.
It's like King David just explaining to Solomon, like, keep God's statutes and his decrees and his commands every day at every turn. He's like, because I'm gonna be gone. Hey, you're gonna be the new representative of God, the new king of Israel. You have to keep him at the center every day, at every corner of every turn.
And I love that you mentioned that, one day at a time.
Yep.
Don't try and like Bilbo Baggins, make yourself butter spread over too much bread. Like mm-hmm. even the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, and even Paul says, forget about what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. You've got today.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Bible that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, that one day. And so ask yourself, how can I do better today? How can I approach video games better today? How can I approach social media, my self-image, my honesty, my self-control? How can I approach that better today?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it well by the grace of God, asking his guidance all along the way, cool. Now you've got tomorrow. But don't worry about tomorrow yet. Just try and do better today.
Absolutely.
And give yourself that goal of showing the world, you know what? What Jesus did for me matters most in an eternal sense. And so I want everything about me to point people to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So thank you so much for your time. Again, share this with your friends that are maybe struggling because this is so important. And it's something that this whole topic arose because of just what we have seen the teenagers of today and even the adults of today struggling with. So, be blessed. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Timmy. Beautiful
for joining,
day. Good day.
For joining us. And thank you, Manny, for running the mothership and joining us as well. And we will see you guys next week.